Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, ushers, for serving us today. And I'm thankful to have the opportunity to go back in the Word today. I'm not quite done with Song of the Year. We'll be transitioning here in just a Sunday or two, but I still feel the Lord speaking to my heart about the song, because we want a song in 2024. We want a song that we sing all year long, a song personally, a song for our houses, a song for this house, a song for our corporate body. We declared some of those things on our anointing Sunday, declaring some of the songs that we are going to sing as a church and as a people. Last Sunday, we baptized 7 people, and amen. I want baptisms to be a song we sing all year long, amen, all year long. Taking next steps, getting everything that we need from the Lord. And if you're here and you've not been baptized in water, it would be my honor. We're ready every Sunday. We have clothes and towels and all of that stuff available and can baptize you. But if you want to look ahead, the last Sunday of the month is a scheduled baptism day. If you want to invite friends or family or that kind of thing, we'll be doing it at the end of this month as well, and you can get signed up. Email baptisms@thechurchcove.com or call the office. Let somebody know. Put it on a connection card, and we will make sure that you get the information that you need. So we're singing. We're singing, and we're going to sing a little today. One thing I know is certain. Each of us are going to get the opportunity to sing in the rain. We're going to get an opportunity to sing when there is trouble in life and when there are circumstances in life that are less than ideal. We'll get the chance to sing one song or another, either a song of victory or a song of sorrow, but it's going to rain on the just and the unjust. I know it's supposed to rain today. I was in the cafe a little while ago and someone mentioned the weather today. It's chilly. It's not going to get out of the 40s. And someone else mentioned that it was supposed to rain today. And someone said it's at 1 o'clock. And someone else said, no, it's at 2 o'clock. And I thought, you know, how wonderful. I know we got apps on our phone and we're all, you know, weathermen and weatherwomen these days. We're experts, and some of you feel it in your bones. They keep asking me if I feel rain in my leg. I'm like, no, I don't have, they didn't give me that gift in surgery. I don't feel rain in my leg. But, you know, if we could just, what if there was an app? We could just look at the app and say, oh, there's trouble coming here in another week. Oh, there's a circumstance going to arrive about 2 o'clock today. Man, wouldn't that be fantastic? I guess, I don't know, maybe you wouldn't want to know if it's coming, just taken by surprise, but someone else could make sure they've got their umbrella or make sure they've got their raincoat or make sure that they have prepared themselves. But the truth of the matter is we have no idea. We really have no idea what life is going to present to us. We have no idea really from day to day what is going to befall us, what is going to come in our lives. We just know that at some point and at some time there are going to be challenges. This idea of a perfect life is fantasy. There are times when life is just terrible. And we have the opportunity to sing anyway. There's some times when the circumstances are so difficult and life is, not a joy today or not a joy this week or just, I'm just struggling, but I have the opportunity to sing anyway. You know why? Because I do not want to become a prisoner to my problems. I don't want my joy to be in jail. I don't want to be dependent upon my circumstance. If I only worship when I feel good, how often would I worship? If I only praise when everything is quote unquote perfect in my life, how often would I really praise? The truth is, it probably would not be very much. There probably would not be very many days within 365 that I would just give to worship, because the enemy would make sure there is something, some challenge, some difficulty, some situation, some circumstance that creeps into our life or just comes up in our situation and steals our song. So I don't want to be a prisoner to my problem, and I don't want my joy to be in jail. I want to live a life that irritates the enemy. Now be careful when you amen that, because if you ever get him irritated at you, you're going to see some stuff happen. But you also need to understand that he's a lot more bully than he is, you know, strong at all. The only power he has is the power that we give to him. That's another message in another series, but you ought to write it down somewhere. Stop giving him power in your life. Because the truth is, it angers the devil when he sends trouble and you respond with praise. It irritates him when he sends trouble and you respond in worship. Let me read this from the word of the Lord today, and I think this will help you. Acts 16, and I want to begin in verse 22. Acts 16 and 22. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." It's a powerful story, and I think there are truths that we need to lift from this text today that are going to encourage us and going to help us and going to teach us to sing even in challenging circumstances. But let me give you a little backstory, because the Bible says back at the beginning of the chapter that Paul and Silas, they were just on their way to prayer. They're minding their own business. They're just doing, you know, what they are responsible to do. We're going to pray today. We're going to the temple. We're going to the place of prayer, and we're going to spend time in devotion, and we're going to study the scriptures, and we're going to be with our faith family. And while they are on their way to prayer, the Bible says that this little slave girl began to call out to them. She began to make a lot of noise and draw attention to Paul and to Silas. And we know persecution was already a thing. They were already upset with these apostles and these disciples, these followers of Jesus, who were literally turning these cities and towns upside down with the gospel, and miracles were happening. And so the religious of the day and the political of the day, they were angry about this. And so this girl, obviously being used by the enemy, is calling out and drawing attention to them. And hey, there they go. There are those men again. And I know the Bible describes her as a slave girl, but I read that as she is being trafficked. She is being trafficked. There are pimps and there are handlers that are in the shadows lurking to make sure that she does what she's told to do. She's making them a lot of money, telling people's fortunes and using these spirits of divination, and her evil spirit that she's operating in recognizes the Holy Spirit that is in Paul and Silas. Just look at somebody and ask them, say, you got it? You got it because you need it. You need the Holy Spirit in your life, because we know there are lots of little devils running around, and you better believe they know who you are. If you are blood-bought and you are filled with the Spirit of the Lord, the enemy knows exactly who you are. You were never a threat to him when you were doing what he wanted you to do. You were never a bother to him when you were thinking like he wanted you to think. But as soon as you gave your heart to Jesus, as soon as you committed your life to him, all of a sudden there was a target put on your back, and the enemy is after you. I just want to explain why you're going through some of the things you're going through and dealing with some of the things that you are dealing with. It's because you are doing something right. It's not time to lay low. It's not time to keep quiet. It's not time to get over in a corner and just find you a shadow to hide in. No. It's time to be bold in your faith, because you got the enemy on the ropes. He can't stand much more of your worship. He can't stand much more of your faith, even in challenging times. So if you'll keep doing what you know is right, guess what? You defeat the enemy in your life. Pastor preaching good today. So this happens over several days. Not really bothering Paul. I mean, Paul sort of lives for this kind of thing, but that spirit is annoying Paul. This spirit that thinks it's in charge and it's going to disrupt the plan of God, or it's going to somehow derail the move of God that's happening through Paul and through Silas and through the apostles that are working in and around this city. And so Paul, one of these days when she's crying out and screaming and telling everybody who Paul is and what he does, Paul just looks over and rebukes the spirit and casts it out of her. He didn't invite her to coffee. He didn't sit down and have a long explanation of the scriptures. He just cast the devil out, because that's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to negotiate with the devil. We're not supposed to invite him over. Come sit down on my couch, little Mr. Devil. I got this new cookie machine. I'm gonna make you a cookie. Let me just see if you and I can establish some kind of rapport. Ladies and gentlemen, you are not going to be the one who tames the devil. As strong as you may believe yourself to be, you are not going to be the one who trains him to do tricks and to be obedient to you. He'll lie right to your face and just keep on wreaking havoc in your life. You got to rebuke the devil, be done with the devil, walk away from that. And that's what Paul did. He rebuked the spirit in this girl, cast the devil out of her, and all of a sudden it was over. Now the little girl is is sitting there in a puddle of tears and thankfulness. She's not being tormented by this spirit anymore. But the people all around, the people who were depending on her to give them the news of the day, their fortunes, and when the mob got involved, they were all crying out, hey, this isn't right. What Paul is doing, the magistrates, the political leaders of the day, all came and said, you know what, Paul, we can't play this. It's amazing how they will allow the little girl with a spirit to say whatever she wants to say, do whatever she wants to do. But as soon as somebody that's filled with the Spirit of the Lord just says, you know what, we're not doing that, all of a sudden they need to be arrested. Think about that for just a moment. But that's what the Bible said. The Bible said that they arrested them. They tore off their clothes. This is significant. Because the enemy has one plan. The enemy has one goal. He has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the only thing he knows how to do. That's his only aim in your life, is to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy your life. The Bible said that they tore off the clothes of Paul and Silas. They stripped them. They attempted to humiliate them, because the enemy wants to steal our identity. Can I ask you an honest to goodness question? In 2024, does anybody know who they are anymore? We've confused everything there is to confuse, and just more confusion filling up every outlet that we read from. People have been stripped of their identity. People have been stripped of their clothes. And then the Bible said that they beat them with rods. Paul and Silas are beaten with rods. Have you ever felt beaten down? You ever felt like life just keeps swinging and keeps connecting, and you just feel like, you know what, I can't take another moment of this. I am so beat down, because the enemy wants to destroy your confidence. He wants to destroy that will to get up and try again today, to push through and to press through anyway. He beat them with rods because he wants to destroy that peace in them. And then the Bible said that they threw them into prison, shackled them, chained them, silenced them, because the enemy wants to kill your calling. Wants to silence your voice and kill your ministry and kill the anointing that is on your life. You got to know who the enemy is, and you got to know what he's up to. It's not about glorifying him. It's not about worshiping him. Lord, have mercy, no way. But the Bible also says, don't be ignorant of his devices. When he shows up, don't just be standing there with, oh my word, I had no idea the devil was going to do that today. Where did that come from? Wake up every day knowing the enemy is on his way, knowing he's going to try something, knowing he's going to try to do something in your life. Know it's going to happen before it happens, so that when it happens, you are not taken by surprise. I sound like Dr. Seuss up here, just rhyming and all of that. But know it's going to happen. Know he's on the way, so that when he shows up, man, you are ready. He didn't surprise you. You saw him coming from a mile. You saw that temptation coming from a mile away, and so you put your guard up, and you prepared yourself so that it wouldn't affect you, and it wouldn't move you, and it wouldn't get you off of your purpose. That's the way you handle the enemy in 2024. But now Paul and Silas, I mean, they're in prison, and they've told the jailer, look, this is serious prisoners that you've got here. We don't want them escaping. We don't want anything happening to them. And so the jailer puts them in the inner prison. They're going behind multiple doors and putting the shackles and the chains on them. And I just kind of hear Paul and Silas, their own thoughts. Well, what do we do now? What do we do now? This seems like a good place to give up. This may be the right time to just give in and let everything fall apart. Maybe that's how you're feeling today. with whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, and the onslaught of life that has come to where you are. Maybe this is a good place to give up. Maybe this is a good place to throw my towel in. This is a good place just to say, you know what, faith does not work. Can I tell you that that's exactly what the enemy wants you to think? That's exactly the way the enemy wants you to feel. He wants you to feel hopeless. He wants you to feel feelings of despair. He wants to frustrate your faith to the point that you're not even willing to worship. You're not even willing to pray. I don't want to hear anything about a small group. I don't want anything to do with coming to church week after week and being faithful to God, because none of that works. I just feel hopeless and I feel despair. It's midnight in my life. This is what darkness feels like. This is what depression feels like. This is what the avalanche of anxiety rolling into my life feels like. Maybe you need to determine what time it is where you are. Is it 10 o'clock? Is it 11:59? Is it hopeless time? Is it frustration time? Did the clock just strike worry in your life? What do you mean sing a song at midnight? I don't have a song to sing at midnight. I can't think about singing or worshiping right now. All I got is nobody knows. All I have is a song of despair. All I have is a song of discouragement. All I have is a song of pain and problem and lament and sadness. But oh, God sent me to give you another song today. God sent me to breathe life back into your spirit today, to know that you can sing even if it is midnight. That's what the Bible said in verse 25 about midnight. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. It was at midnight. They're in shackles, both foot and hand. They're in the inner prison behind multiple doors, and they are singing hymns to God. Listen, your response in the middle of a crisis is everything. Your reaction when trouble shows up in your life is everything. If you give in to that worry, if you give in to that anxiety, if you hear yourself just saying things like, you know what, I knew this is what was going to happen. I knew this is how it would turn out. I knew when we made that financial decision that it was going to end up in a mess. I knew when we started this business. I knew when we got married. I knew this is what was going to happen. No. That's not what I'm singing in trouble. I've got to find a song at midnight, a song of worship, a song of praise, a song of declaring victory, a song that says, you know what, I may be down, but I'm not out. I may be chained, but I've not been silenced. I can still sing at midnight. I can sing when I'm sick. I can sing when I'm broke. I can sing when I'm separated. I can sing even when life is coming at me, one crisis and problem after another. I've still got a song of praise in me. Because it's at midnight that you need your song the most. It's at midnight when you need your praise the most. When life is spinning crazy, that's when you need your worship. I don't need anybody to teach me how to worship when things are good. I didn't need anybody to teach me how to respond when that man handed a $10,000 check for our church. I didn't. Hey, awesome. It was amazing. I didn't have to think of a response. I had a response for the good news. But it's amazing when we get in difficult times, we can't find the words. We can't find the response. We can't find the reaction. All we can find is just the sadness and the pity and the difficult and the the just humiliation and the shame and all of the things that the enemy wants us to feel. Listen, God did not put that on you. God has not put shame on you. God has not put condemnation on you. God has not put the weight of wrong decisions on you. He's trying to free you. He's trying to lift you. He's trying to raise you up even in your challenge. So if all you feel is the negativity and the darkness and the doom and the gloom, that's the enemy trying to send that death blow into your life. And you got to recognize that, wait a minute, I may be down, but I'm not out. The referee may have counted almost to 10, but if he's still counting, I've got an ability to get up. I'm going to get up and sing one more time. I'm not quitting. I'm not throwing in the towel. I am going to declare, this is my hour of victory. Paul and Silas were singing hymns to God. I don't know what song they were singing. I've always wondered what song it was. I'd love to know, because I'd love to sing that one. But regardless, I got to find a song that I can sing at midnight. I got to find a song that allows me to worship anyway and praise anyway and sing anyway. They sang these hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And then verse 26, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. I hope you see the picture that I'm painting for you today. They started singing and the jail started rocking. They started singing and the chains that had them bound started rattling and falling. I just titled this message, Jailhouse Rock. Because that's what we need. That's what you need in your life. That's what you need in your business. That's what you need at your school. That's what you need in your home. You need an earthquake of God's spirit and power and presence. You need that, oh. You need to walk through your house declaring the goodness of God, declaring the favor of God, declaring his anointing in your life, and let those circumstances start shaking. Let those situations start, let the chains that are trying to weigh you down fall at your feet. How does it happen, Pastor? It happens when we sing anyway. Yes. Happens when we worship him, when we magnify him. I need the house to rock. I need this jail to rock. I need this circumstance to be defeated. I need this challenge to be weakened and lessened. I need to have victory in this season. I'm going to give you three things. If you're taking notes, you can write these down because I believe they'll help you. Three things that this story teaches us. The first thing this story teaches us is that it's never too late to sing. I'm so glad the writer said that it was midnight. I'm so glad that they noted the time of day, because midnight has every inference, has every description and every understanding that it's this dark, ominous time of the day. It's that time when the enemy moves about and does his best work. And of course, at midnight, midnight represents late. There's some of y'all that if you get woke up or if somehow, you know, life keeps you up, man, you just yawn and, whoo, what in the world? I don't know how. I'm about to turn into a pumpkin. I got to go lay down somewhere. I can't stay up this late. That's what the enemy wants you to believe, that it is too late, or that you are too far gone, or that you've messed up too many times. But Paul and Silas have a what do we have to lose attitude. We're in shackles. We're in situation and circumstance that we don't like. Why sit we here till we die? Somebody asked in the Old Testament. We're not just going to sit and die. We're going to sit and worship. We're going to bless the Lord. We're going to praise Him. Yeah, there's a diagnosis I'm dealing with, but I'm going to sing anyway. Yeah, there's financial ruin I'm dealing with, but I'm going to sing anyway. Yes, there's strife in the relationship, but I'm going to sing anyway. Midnight is the perfect time to start worshiping. It's never too late to sing. I don't care what you're facing today. I don't care what you're dealing with. It's never too late to sing. Who am I preaching to today? It's not too late. You're here. You got breath in your body. It's not too late. God has not given up on you. Please don't give up on yourself. Start singing right where you are. Here's the second thing you need to know. Duets make a difference. Duets make a difference. They say misery loves company. Well, guess what? Praise loves company too. You got friends that'll try to pull you down as low as they are. You'll just be having a great day and that co-worker will say, can you believe we have to work here? Can you believe we got him for a boss? Man, you just were just thanking God for the sunshine and driving into work. This is going to be a great day. I'm going to be productive. I'm going to knock that punch list out. I'm going to get all of the things that have been lagging and trailing and walk in and meet a devil wearing a uniform shirt saying, come on, let your attitude sour. Let just get negative. Just go there. Don't be positive. Don't have a better outlook for your life. Just get, because misery loves company. Listen, that's somebody that I would avoid at all cost. If they're in the break room, when it's time for me, I'm going to go walk outside. If they're inviting me to lunch, I'm sorry. I've got other plans, because the duet makes a difference. Who you sing with, who you do life with, who you're in relationship with, it's going to make a difference. If Silas would have said, Paul, I'm sorry, bud, but I don't have the same song that you have. I don't know what would have happened to Paul, but Paul made sure that he was connected to and in relationship with somebody who had the same passion and the same heart, and they had the same desire to worship the Lord. I'm praying 2024 is going to be the year that you find your people, and you find somebody you can sing with, and somebody you can worship with, and somebody you can live with, and somebody you can walk this walk with. Because duets make a difference. Duets make a difference. Sometimes we team people up because the right person singing with you will keep you on key. Maybe somebody stronger singer than you. And we partner you up who may be a little weaker. Maybe not as stable, maybe not as certain, maybe not hearing that key as well, but you get teamed up with somebody who's strong in their faith. Man, it'll lift you. It'll get you on key. It'll elevate your worship. It'll elevate your praise. Stop hanging out with people that don't have as much faith as you have. Love them, witness to them, call them higher, but you need to find some strong people to walk with, some strong people to sit by, some strong people to serve with, because I am intending to be victorious in 2024, and if I am, I gotta have the right duet to sing with. Deuteronomy said that one could chase 1,000 and two could put 10,000 to flight. That's the difference in being connected to the right people. That's the reason we have small groups. It's the reason you'll get an opportunity here in just a couple of Sundays to get in a group and find people that you can do life with, people that you can be connected to, because duets make a difference. Let me close with this last one. First of all, It's not too late to sing. Duets make a difference. But here's the last one. Your song will save you and others. Your song will save you and others. That's what the Bible said. First of all, Paul and Silas, when they started singing, it wasn't just them singing. The Bible said that the other prisoners were listening to them. Maybe at first they thought, well, this is entertainment. Gets miserable sitting here, and after a while somebody says, yeah, go ahead and sing, man, that's great. But it was more than that. Something began to shake in that jailhouse. Something began to happen. The Bible said it was an earthquake. I don't know, I read yesterday there was an earthquake that was felt from like Arkansas to Mississippi. Did we have an earthquake in Georgia? I just want to make sure I didn't miss anything. Never been in an earthquake. I've always kind of wanted to feel what that feels like. Not one of those big ones, you know. I don't want my car to fall down in some hole somewhere. I just curious what that is like. The other prisoners. It was amazing because when Paul and Silas, the one singing, when their chains fell off, their song saved them. But look, the other prisoners. All of their chains fell off. Because my song doesn't just deliver me, it delivers people around me. The song doesn't just set me free, it sets those free that I'm connected to and in relationship with, because your song will save you and others. And the jailer, when he woke up, grabbed his sword and was about to kill himself. And Paul said, no, don't do that. We're all here. We've all been where you are, man. We've all messed up and failed and tripped and slipped and had problems. And we've all been there. Jailer, don't. This ain't the end, man. This isn't the end. Come on. Join in this song with us. And the jailer, ladies and gentlemen, the jailer said, hey, what do I need to do to be able to sing the same song you're singing? What do I need to do to be saved? How do I get in me what you have in you? How do I receive what you have? It's a long story, but the Bible says that the jailer took Paul and Silas to his house. They're all supposed to be at the jail, folks. But Paul and Silas go to the jailer's house and they present the gospel to the jailer's wife and kids. And the Bible said his whole family was baptized. And before the sun came up, they were back in the jail. Here come the magistrates. Here come the political leaders. We can't do anything to these men. Let them go. Turn them loose. Because your song will save you and others. Your song will make a difference. I promise you. When you think you are all alone, when you think there is no one near you, no one cares, there are people that are hearing your song. When the world is negative and you are the lone positive voice, I promise you they're listening. And it may seem like you got one small note in a chorus of chaos, but if you'll keep singing that one note, your song will save you and it'll save somebody else. Anyone got a song to sing? Get your song. Father, I pray today for people who are feeling the weight The worry is big. The anxiety is heavy. The struggle is real. We haven't felt much like singing. Haven't felt much like worship. Our praise has been off. I've just not been myself lately. That's because the enemy came with so much at one time that just got us all chained up, feeling like our voice will never pierce the darkness. As weak as I may be today, as uncertain as I may be today, as unsettled as life may seem today, I'm gonna sing a song. As difficult as the days have been, as hard and as heavy, I'm gonna sing a song today. Oh,